Rabbit.
He's down, lower on the ground than anybody else could be. He's up, shoulders in the sky where the six birds fly like me. He's wrong, but he's super right and he doesn't feel quite the same. He's strong, but it really doesn't show, so what good is it to know his name? Hey, good hearty!
Hey, good hearty!
Hey, good hearty! One day, if he's got a little time, he could write you a rhyme or two. His way, the smallest little phrase could be built to amaze just you. He'll try to mix up a word you anyone's never heard before. With words, hey, good hearty!
Hey, good
hearty! Hey, good hearty!
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now?
Your old friend, Greg Diamond.
Who are you?
Well, for several years I've been coming on your show, and you've been introducing me as the co-author of Mondo Canuck. And it recently became embarrassing because I had no new product to pitch. Now,
for the past 10 years,
it's been a fallow period for me.
But I will always remember you as Greg Diamond from Mondo Canuck Greg.
Yes, but I have a new product I'm going to be pitching over the next few minutes.
But it's an interesting product. It's not so overtly commercial, is it?
I hope it is.
I mean, it's a product that we're going to be talking about for the next 10 years, hopefully, right?
I hope.
Greg Diamond from Jimmy McDonald's Canada.
Yes.
Ex-Greg Diamond from Mondo Canuck. However...
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead, Greg Diamond.
Don't you love that Guess Who song?
Well, that's what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
That is your theme song. Every time you've been on an Aardvarty Human Serviette radio show, Greg Diamond, you've demanded that I play Hey Good Hearty. In fact, I think I might have been one of the first people to play that for you, or had you heard that before I played that for you?
I had never, ever heard it. I didn't even know they had done such a song, named after a great Canadian adult contemporary musician who did an ad for Red Rose Tea called The Homecoming. But that song is such a joyful noise. It's an insane record.
And you've gone on to research Hey Good Hearty and guess who quite a bit there, Greg Diamond, haven't you? In fact, you've even found footage of Hey Good Hearty in the CBC archives.
Yes, I have footage of the Guess Who. This is shortly after Colour's been introduced to the CBC, so it's just this insane kind of Technicolor explosion, and they're guesting on a special hosted by your Vancouver citizen, Juliet.
And you are Greg Diamond from Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Okay, a bit of background, Greg Diamond, please. What was Mondo Canuck?
Well, we'll take it back to 1996.
Actually, was it wrong of me to play your theme song, your intro? I kind of almost didn't want to play it again.
Why?
I almost didn't want to play Hey Good Hearty's version of Let's Go, or to Guess Who's version of Let's Go. Well, actually, because I think this CD sucks. I haven't even heard it. I didn't want to hear it.
Oh, you mean the Winnipeg one?
Yeah. And, like, Randy Bachman is everywhere now. Like, you can't get away from him. He's, like, the new, like, Finkelman's 45s or whatever. Like,
I think he has a show coming up on CBC, yes.
I feel like my Guess Who phase may be over. Like, it's over.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I may be through this.
Who have you moved on to? April Wine or...
Ba-boom! Actually, maybe I should actually
You should. I think the April Wine is the new Guess Who.
Hopefully they will be, just as I believe Rick Nash is the new Ron Settlebauer. How about that, Greg Diamond from Mondo Canuck?
I like that. Why, because of his insouciant hairstyle?
No, because of the stats. You know, Rick Nash got like 41 goals and like 15 assists or whatever, 16 assists, and Ron Settlebauer got 40 goals and 16 assists. Like, it's the same guy, Ron Settlebauer, who we joked about. Because remember his stats? 40 goals, 16 assists
for
Vancouver Canucks.
You like the players who have more goals than assists, eh? That's very un-Canadian.
Well, I know,
you should get more assists than goals.
Yeah, exactly, but it was just a weird sort of freak of nature to Ron Settlebauer for the Vancouver Canucks got that. Actually, Rick Blight passed away a little while ago.
Oh.
Rick Blight from the Vancouver Canucks.
What were Bobby Schmotz's numbers?
I'm not sure, but it wasn't 40 goals and 16 assists, and
no.
Rick Nash
That's
is very much like that.
Play.
So Rick Nash is the new Ron Settlebauer. But Greg Dunn, please can you explain a bit about Mondo Canuck and Jimmy McDonald's Canada. How does it all come together? I guess you can never have enough Hey Good Hearty. That's what we heard to begin the show, the song Hey Good Hearty by the Guess Who. You can never have enough, can you?
Thank you for playing that. I just love that kind of Muscle Shoals horn section. It's a record that really sounds like they were raised in San Francisco instead of Winnipeg.
And it's now available on a...
That fuzzbox psychedelic guitar in the middle and Burton screeching. It's amazing. But anyway, around 10 years ago now, it's frightening to admit that.
But let's just go back to the Guess Who for a second, Greg Diamond.
Sorry.
And actually, if anybody has any pop culture questions, before Greg Diamond has even explained why he knows anything about pop culture, or he's immersed in it, it's 604-822-247, 604-UBC-CITR. The Let's Go CD that just came out, kind of really amazing that came out at the same time as Jimmy McDonald's Canada, is filled with a whole bunch of Let's Go Guess Who sessions. Maybe you could explain a bit about that, please, Greg Diamond, before you get into the Mondo Canucking.
Well, in the mid-1960s, there was a show on the CBC from Monday to Friday each weekday after school between 5:30 and 6 p.m. It was called, originally it was called Music Hop, and then it was called Let's Go. And it was the after-school Canadian equivalent of American Bandstand. So, except American Bandstand always came from Philadelphia. This had five Canadian locales. Monday it would come from Halifax, Tuesday from Montreal, Wednesday from Toronto, Thursday from Winnipeg, and Friday from Vancouver. They'd go across the country in that way. And you could, for the first time ever, it was a great Canadian intersection of television, teens, and rock music. And if you lived in Vancouver, you could turn on your TV and see the local pop scene in Halifax or all these other cities far away. So it was kind of a early version of Much Music, I guess. And yeah, it was an extremely popular show, and all kinds of performers got their start on that show.
Including the Guess Who?
Including the Guess Who.
And
they won a host band in Winnipeg, yeah. And Alex Trebek hosted the Toronto version, and Gordon Lightfoot appeared on that. Your amazing Vancouver version was a bit more out there than the other ones, and it had the Poppy family doing a lot of versions of White Rabbit.
And on the Winnipeg version, of course, you had the Guess Who doing like Tin Soldier.
That's right.
Maybe that's why I didn't really like the CD as much as maybe other people, because on this particular CD that's been recently reissued or come out, like from the vault, have you heard it?
Yes.
It's got many great versions of songs that made the Guess Who popular a bit later on, and I guess I wasn't really into those songs as much.
You
want
the cover versions.
Well, yeah, I wanted the Tin Soldier.
I wanted that, too. I was disappointed.
It was absolutely amazing, the Guess Who doing Tin Soldier. So, Greg Diamond, back to you. Mondo
Cunha. So I put Tin Soldier. We put Tin Soldier at the start of a CBC anniversary special I did a couple of years ago, but maybe we'll get to that later.
Tin Soldier by?
Guess by the Guess Who.
By the Small Faces.
Originally by the Small Faces, yes.
And Greg Diamond, Mondo Cunha up to Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Just quickly, if you could explain that.
Well, I started working at CBC in the early 90s on a show called Prime Time, hosted by a guy named Jeff Pevere, who's now the film critic for the Toronto Star. And we discovered that we shared this common interest in the Beachcombers and Hinterland Who's Who and Al Waxman and the Guess Who and all this Canadian stuff we grew up with in the 60s and 70s. So the show got canceled in 1993.
And I am very happy to say that the show was amazing to all the listeners out there in Radioland.
Nardwar was the final guest.
I couldn't believe that. I mean, that shows how warped you guys are. You can pick anybody in the entire world, and you pick Noam Chomsky, which was a great choice, because he wasn't really as into it back then, was he?
Like, no.
I mean, and also, people weren't really as into him in like the early 90s as they are now. And you could pick anybody else, and you pick me and Noam Chomsky. Thank you.
That was before Noam Chomsky sold out to Nike.
And I'm still waiting to sell out, please. I'm still waiting for the check. But that's how wild and crazy the show was. Thank you.
It was a fun show. It was a pop culture show. And then the show got canceled, and it was a pleasure. You were a great last guest. Anyway, then we decided to write this book on those interests I mentioned a couple of seconds ago, this compendium of Canadian pop culture called Mondo Cunha.
Which is filled with little tidbits that I just really love. Like, I always ask you this, but did Margaret Trudeau really sing backups on Men Without Hats, Safety Dance? I just can't get enough of this.
You know what? You always ask me that. I honestly don't even think that's in the book.
It is in the book, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Maybe it's in On a Cold Road by Bedini.
But ba-boom! Or Nicholas Jennings' book, Before the Gold Rush. But I always do ask you that, don't I?
That's about Yorkville, though. I don't think he got up to the 80s and Men Without Hats.
Because that's one of the more interesting tidbits.
Yeah.
Margaret Trudeau singing backups on the Safety Dance.
I honestly didn't know that.
But there were other neat tidbits in the book, which can't really exactly remember
It's a bit hazy. It's not.
Okay, what about
ago.
Where Lighthouse and Pierre Elliott Trudeau exchange joints? Is that in the book?
No. That's. I think you know what I think you've read and you're mistaken with Mondo Cunha? I think you might have read Confessions, Margaret Trudeau's autobiography.
Wow. I guess it really has been a long time, hasn't it? You're outing me, aren't you?
That's the trouble.
It's been like 10 years.
I'm reading a book that's 9 years old.
However, it is still in high demand. A recent internet search found out that your book is doing pretty well. Have you ever done little internet searches looking for the price of the book, etc., etc.?
No,
because your book, Mondo Cunha, and you are Greg Diamond, author of Mondo Cunha. If anybody has any pop culture questions for Greg, it's 604-822-2487, 604-UBCCHR. And Greg's brand new series, Jimmy McDonald's Canada, debuts this Sunday night on the CBC at 11 p.m. And it's filled with archival little tidbits. And it's not going to be like, it seems like yesteryear. It's going to play right the way through, and nothing's going to get interrupted. Right, Greg?
That's right.
So, Mondo Canuck originally came out in 1996, and it was $27.95. This is your book.
In 1996,
it was $27.95. Now, used bookstores now usually sell it for between $12.95 and $17.95, depending on condition. That's pretty good. It's only gone down about $10 in about 10 years.
It's only depreciated about 40%.
Which is very good.
It's a good investment.
So, please, Greg Diamond, back to Mondo Canuck moving up to Jimmy McDonald's Canada.
Well,
you can find out little tidbits like Pierre Elliott Trudeau handing a joint to Lighthouse and Lighthouse handing a joint to Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Did that really happen? Did the Prime Minister of Canada really get given drugs? And could that happen in any other Canada type of country except for Canada?
But you see, again, you're quoting a story. I mean, I'm sure you can find it out somewhere and verify it, just not in any of the projects I've worked on. However, I mean, what you're saying about the accessibility to prime ministers and ex-prime ministers is very true. For example, after a baseball game I went to at Skydome a few years ago, I saw a rather tousled-looking John Turner standing on former MP of Vancouver Quadra.
Former Prime Minister
just standing on a street corner alone. And it was, I thought to myself, wow, only in Canada would this guy not have a Secret Service detail around him. And I often see Joe Clark walking through the CBC atrium because he gets his hair cut right across the street.
How hard was it to get Prime Minister Paul Martin?
Is that question?
How hard was it to get Prime Minister Paul Martin for Jimmy McDonald's Canada? Bit of foreshadowing here, because we haven't even got into what the series is really about there.
No,
Greg
Diamond.
But how hard was it to approach Prime Minister Paul Martin, because he's involved?
Yes. Well, one of our producers on the show, Sabrina Sacoccio, who was out in Vancouver with me a year ago when we were researching with the great CBC Vancouver archivist Colin Preston. She did the booking of many of those celebrities who do fake testimonials about this character I'll be telling you about. We had Paul Martin, the aforementioned Joe Clark.
How hard was it?
Pierre Burton's final television appearance. Adrian Clarkson, the Governor General. Don Cherry, Paul Henderson, Lloyd Robertson. Everyone is paying homage to this great Canadian we've made a show about.
Okay, Mondo Canuck to Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Maybe we should get into specific information about Jimmy McDonald's Canada. What is this? What's going on?
Well, this continues some of the themes in Mondo Canuck. And Jimmy McDonald's Canada, basically the full title is Jimmy McDonald's Canada, The Lost Episodes. And what we've done is create a CBC current affairs show from 1964-65, that Diefenbaker-Pearson era. I started working with Maria Maronowitz in this new unit at CBC called the Retro Programming Unit. I think after the 50th anniversary of CBC, they discovered they were sitting on a gold mine of clips. So I had some experience with the archives, and we decided we knew we had all these interesting clips of old, you know, attitudes toward rock and roll and technology and fashion and what we ate and what we wore and how we behaved, and I thought, you know, rather than just present those in kind of a stream of consciousness manner, we'd actually really embrace the period. And so I decided to create this entire fake show, which does incorporate about 75% of the show is actual archival material, clips from current affairs shows and documentaries and news shows that did air on CBC at that time.
Did the clips run in full? Because remember I mentioned about It Happened Yesteryear. Wasn't that like some Rick Mercer show? Do you play the clips in full?
Well,
or as much as you can, or are they interrupted? Because on that show, they were interrupted quite a bit, weren't they?
Well, we try to get the gist of every clip. I mean, a lot of those old clips on the old documentaries and current affairs shows were fairly languid. Television was much more slow-paced back then. So we've had to cut some of them a wee bit for pacing. And basically, the conceit of it is that Jimmy McDonald was this extremely cantankerous guy from Saskatchewan who wound up being the hottest star on CBC. He had this show where he addressed some kind of element of Canadian society each week. He was the biggest star on CBC in the mid-60s, but kind of at the height of his fame, he started getting really unnerved by all these social and cultural changes going on in the 60s. He was much more comfortable in the 50s. He didn't like the 60s breaking out all over the place. So he kind of goes a bit wacky. He renounces TV. He renounces CBC. He gets in a plane and flies north. He wants to retire to the Northwest Territories. He takes all the episodes of the show with him. Unfortunately, he's not trained as a pilot. The plane crashes. The country goes into mourning. We have Lester Pearson making a speech about his passing. And the tapes have been lost for 40 years. But the show opens with this mockumentary of these archaeologists actually discovering the canisters of film.
Debuting this Sunday night, June 12th, 11 p.m., Jimmy McDonald's Canada, and we have Greg Diamond from Jimmy McDonald's Canada to answer your pop culture questions. 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, and caller, are you there?
I am here.
Go ahead to Greg Diamond from Mondo Canuck, but now Jimmy McDonald's Canada, which is going to be on when, caller?
It's going to be this Sunday at, is it 8? I didn't get it.
Eight Pacific, but that would be... No, wait a second. Not 8 Pacific, that would be 5 Eastern.
It's 11.
11.
Right across the country.
11 p.m. Go ahead, caller.
11 p.m., I look forward to it. I just, I'm wondering if the author could just...
Did we say the CBC? Did we say on the CBC?
I think so.
Yes, it's on the CBC.
CBC. Could you just talk a little bit about that brief phenomenon of the late 60s, I think maybe in the early 70s, called Trouble with Tracy, and I will hang up and listen. Thanks.
Wait, don't hang up. Why don't you just listen online? We'd like you to listen online.
You might have a follow-up or a supplementary question,
yeah,
like in the House of Commons.
Yeah.
I just may. Okay.
Unless, of course, you have to go. Do you have to go?
In a moment, I will, yeah.
Really?
Okay, well, do a quick answer, Greg, and then go back to the caller.
You're not hanging around. Just like that MP, Graywall.
Bah, boom, okay.
Well, The Trouble with Tracy was a CTV show. Yeah, you're right. It was the late 60s or early 70s. It's in Mondo Canuck. This is one thing that is actually in the book. And it was a comedy, but it was shot like a soap opera. So basically, I think they taped like 3 or 4 episodes a day. And... you could really argue that it was the cheapest Canadian sitcom of all time, and that's saying something. But it was shot in Agent Court in Toronto, out in the CTV studios, and it starred, I think her name is Diane Nyland, I think she now lives in St. Catharines, played Tracy, a guy named Steve Weston, who played in a lot of beer commercials, played her husband.
Caller, where did you hear about this series?
Oh, when I was a kid, so about 6 years old, what was it on, about 1970, 71?
Yeah, and they had the crazy hippie brother-in-law, played by a guy named Franz Russell.
As a six-year-old, I knew it was terrible. I was a little embarrassed watching it. I sort of watched it when my older brother and sister weren't around, but it was probably my first crush was whoever played Tracy. She was
right.
So hot, and it, turned my six-year-old.
I can understand those feelings. Did either of you ever know of a show called Hilarious House of Frightenstein?
We mentioned that the last time you were on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. In fact,
since then I've been to a conference or a fan fest a couple of weeks ago in Toronto. This guy who's crazy for Hilarious House of Frightenstein and Billy Van did this conference.
A whole conference on it? Just like there was a whole conference on Morrissey. Did you hear about that? There was a whole conference on Morrissey. I learned that on your favorite show, The Hour with George Strombolopoulos. Caller, any other questions for Greg Diamond? Any more information you'd like about that series at all?
No, but now that I know Tracy's name, I'll cherish that. Have a good day.
Well, thanks so much, caller, and doot doot a loot doo.
Doot-doot.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. We're speaking here to Greg Diamond, author of Mondo Canuck from 1995-1996, but now producer, genius behind Jimmy McDonald's Canada, debuting on the CBC this Sunday night at 11 p.m. our time in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, on the CBC. And you were talking about the Frightenstein thing. Yes, CITR music director Luke Meat phoned in a couple months ago asking that very question there. So was there any new information about the House of Frightenstein at all, Greg Diamond? Any new stuff has come out?
Well, They unfortunately, Billy Van died about a year and a half ago. He was this wonderful Canadian comic actor, kind of ahead of his time. He was about 10 years older than all those people in SCTV and Saturday Night Live, but I would argue just as talented or more talented. He played about 30 roles on the show. But what came out of this fan fest was, well, to be frank, I only stayed about half an hour. I didn't hang in there for the long haul. But they tracked down actual camera people and sound guys from the show, and it was shot in Hamilton. Again, just like The Trouble with Tracy, it was shot for about a dime. They flew up Vincent Price, that famous horror actor, to Hamilton for a couple of days, and I think in those 2 days he did about 200 little skits, all improv. The show was basically all improvised.
Yeah, what would you compare the show to? Now, I know we always talk about the Frankenstein. I know we always talk about the Guess Who. I know we always talk about Margaret Trudeau and the Lighthouse.
I'm happy to talk about other things.
But can you mention that just briefly about the Frankenstein? What could you compare it to? Because people do love the Frankenstein.
I don't know what. There's a great website out about it, too. What would I compare it to? I just think it was easily the coolest kid show ever. And it had a great sense of humor, and it had these weird psychedelic sequences that kind of seemed to me to be the first attempts at pop video.
And I
guess in terms of humor and a kid show and attitude, I guess I'd compare it to the Monkees.
And how can you go wrong with Vincent Price? Back to the Guess Who. I don't really hate them. I'm not really sick of them. Maybe this time
I'm happy if you want to move on from the Guess Who, I will too.
Well, what I'd like to move on to now is Burton Cummins' solo career. I think I'm ready for that. The Burton Cummins solo career. And I really want to see this movie that he was in where he's nude playing a piano. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's a film called Melanie. I actually saw that in a cinema in Halifax. I think that's 1980 when he was in his new wave period. He had a really kind of short new wave hair. It's when he went on the Brian Linehan show and gave this quite revealing interview about his consumption of certain things. And at that time I think he was had this burgeoning film career, and there's this rather shocking scene of him playing a piano. I think the main character, Melanie, played by an actress named Glynis O'Connor, she returns back to her apartment or his apartment or something. He's sitting there on a piano bench naked, but it's only a view from behind.
It's not
frontal.
I think that's what I'm going to move into, the solo career of Burton Cummins. Actually, his picture is also on the Wheatfield Soldiers hockey team jersey. Have you heard about the Wheatfield Soldiers?
No, great name, though.
Yeah, they're a team from Winnipeg, and they play in the Exclaim Cup. And
the Exclaim Cup.
Yes, and their jersey is a picture of a 70s Burton Cummins. And if anybody has any questions about nude Burton Cummins pics, please, 604-822-247 UBC CITR and phone in and ask Greg Diamond a question about his brand new series also, Jimmy McDonald's Canada, and Greg knows everything about pop culture. And even if he doesn't know everything, please phone in and challenge him, because then he'll lose and then you'll feel good and you'll want to watch the show. Jimmy McDonald's Canada, Greg Diamond, what is the history of youth shows like, say, I mentioned The Hour on the CBC?
What do you mean?
What is the history of youth shows on the CBC?
Well, I think you covered this topic quite marvelously in your interview with George Strombolopoulos about a month ago.
Like, you know, there's Pay, there's Counterspin, there's Big Life, there's Zed, there's Switchback. I mean, where does The Hour fit in there?
I wouldn't classify it as a youth show.
Because what it leads to is, what CBC shows...
There's a difference between Switchback and Let's Go and a current affairs show like The Hour.
Because what CBC shows did they cancel to make The Hour or Jimmy McDonald's Canada? Because obviously they canceled something for your show to happen. So who got asked?
I don't think it's kind of a domino effect like that. I think like our show's going on 11 o'clock on Sunday night.
I mean,
shows aren't necessarily canceled. They just have a run that ends.
Well, it's interesting. Chris Cuthbert kind of gets canon, and Jimmy McDonald's Canada pops up. Is there a connection?
I don't know.
Greg Diamond, what other shows got green-lighted this season? I mean, it's very important in television to have an important lead-in, isn't it? Your show, Jimmy McDonald's Canada, begins at 11 p.m. Who is your lead-in?
I believe it is CBC News Sunday.
No, it is Evan Solomon. Is he the guy from CBC News Sunday?
Yeah, he's the host of that show.
So that's a new show.
I think it's been on the air about three or four years.
Oh, okay. How about Scott Thompson? Is he your lead-in, or is that another network?
Scott Thompson's My Fabulous Gay Wedding?
Yes.
I think that's Wednesday nights on CanWest Global.
And Greg Diamond, is Douglas Copeland jealous? Was this project, Jimmy McDonald's Canada, which combines a lot of archival stuff, almost stolen from you? How long have you been pushing for this show?
How long have I been... I don't think Douglas Copeland even knows about it.
Well, I meant the idea, because, you know, he's milking all this esoteric Canadiana-type stuff, right?
Well, I guess a few people are guilty of that. You could see even I'm guilty of it. I just consider it pursuing my childhood passions. But...
I had the idea
about a year ago.
I guess what I was wondering is, like, you know, there's that famous story of, like, how Burt Reynolds could have been, like, Indiana Jones or something like that. Oh, no, sorry, Tom Selleck could have been Indiana Jones. But he
and I think Burt Reynolds could have been in Terms of Endearment, but he decided to do Cannonball Run 2.
Right, and...
Worst career decision ever.
Are you the second choice? Like, who canceled for you to get your show?
This is a new unit. It's the show... this is a fairly open, free-flowing time slot. Sunday at 11.
But how long have you been pushing for this show, Greg Diamond, Jimmy McDonald's Canada? How long have you been pushing for it? Because I'm thinking you've been pushing a long time, and a whole bunch of people canceled, and they said, okay, Greg, you can finally have it, because retro is cool. What were their ideas for it? Like, did Douglas Copeland say, oh, I'm not interested?
Yeah, that's what happened.
All right.
I have to admit.
I mean, what was your pitch exactly, Greg Diamond, for your show, Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
Oh, the pitch was about a year ago. In TV terms, it's not really an exceptionally long turnaround time. It's fairly quick, I think. Person I know, Maria Moronowitz, I worked with her at News World, and she became the head of this retro programming unit. And
I believe this show is aimed at a psychographic more so than at a demographic.
and without seeing the show, you can say that with utter confidence.
I believe this show is aimed at a psychographic more than at a demographic. Greg Diamond,
are you quoting something?
Yes, I am.
More internet research you've done?
Maria Moronowitz, your boss. That's what she said.
You're saying this in such an accusatory manner. What is your source? The internet?
My source is Maria Moronowitz. Your boss said, I believe this show, Jimmy McDonald's Canada, is aimed more at a psychographic more so than at a demographic. What does that mean?
I would agree with her.
What does that mean?
Well, I think... Well, I'm going to take it back to the old school now. My only other project, Mondo Canuck, from 9 years ago. And I think that book appealed to a psychographic rather than a demographic. For example, with this show, we hope, and we think, we're hopeful that people of, not just people who would be old enough to remember this show had it existed in the mid-60s, but we think, you know, a lot of younger people, like yourself, enjoyed Mondo Canuck.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. We're speaking here to Greg Diamond from Jimmy McDonald's Canada, a brand new series debuting this Sunday night. So much good archival material. I have a list of it. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. This Sunday night, 11 p.m. on the CBC. If you have any questions for Greg Diamond, it's 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. Greg wrote the book Mondo Canuck. And also, Greg was involved with the 50th anniversary of the CBC specials, so we went extensively through the CBC vaults and pretty much found all the great little nuggets you're going to see on Jimmy McDonald's Canada. However, Greg, what exactly was your pitch? I was once involved in a movie called The Widower, and the pitch for the movie was Natural Born Killers meets On Golden Pond. That was the pitch. That was the grab line. What was the pitch for Jimmy McDonald's Canada? How can you simplify it? Because that's what we want.
Zelig meets Guy Madden meets This Hour Has 7 Days.
Zelig, a reference to Mondo Canuck. Please explain. Is he the guy that brought Porky's to Canada? No, that's Ivan Reitman. Who's the guy that fended...
I like your Teutonic pronunciations of Merolovich and Reitman.
Well, actually, who was Zelig? Alan Zelig.
That's a Woody Allen movie from the early 1980s. It's in black and white, and he plays this fake character inserted into that. Yeah, I guess it's an early, much funnier version of what they did in Forrest Gump, of inserting a character inside actual historical footage. Just a fake character.
So what exactly would you say the pitch is again, one more time?
Zelig meets Guy Madden meets This Hour Has 7 Days. Now, it's not a very saleable pitch. You have, what was it? Meets on Golden Pond?
Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, those are two very recognizable films. And the three things I've said, most people that wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. So it wasn't very commercial. I guess that's how you kicked off this interview. And you know what? I think you're right. It's not a very commercial enterprise. However, we really didn't go in and have a pitch meeting like this. She wanted me, Maria wanted me to look at this footage and see if we could come up with a show. I guess it was more organic than having a big pitch and a green light. We tried one thing without a host, and then we thought it would be fun to create this fake show. It was just kind of went like that. It was much more organic. I don't love the word organic, but I guess it was organic.
Isn't
it about time that someone phoned in to complain about the Aboriginal television network?
I know nothing about that.
Oh. Last time I was on, this rather rude man phoned in. I think he'd been drinking. And was complaining about all, you know, them showing the beachcombers.
I think he might have been involved with the CBC. How is the CBC regarded, Greg Diamond? We're speaking to Greg Diamond from Jimmy McDonald's Canada, debuting this Sunday night on the CBC at 11 p.m. Your new online boss, Jonathan Dubay. Who is Jonathan Dubay?
But the audience will be confused. We've gone from Jimmy McDonald to online.
Who is Jonathan Dubay? He's the boss. He's the guy brought in.
He is the new editorial director of CBC's new media.
So how is an American going to understand anything to do with Wojak, which I still quite don't understand, or OOKPIC? How is an American going to understand OOKPIC?
Well, it's kind of a news current events site, so... I don't know if he is a pioneer in online journalism, so I don't think he'll have to, you know, he can go to the book Mondo Canuck if he needs to find out info about certain old Canadian pop iconography.
OOKPIC always comes up. Who was, is OOKPIC, and how does OOKPIC feature into Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
Gosh, it's a thing, I think. It's a BC thing. It's in one of the Doug Copeland's Souvenir of Canada books. He has quite an entertaining little entry on it. But I can't remember exactly what it is. I have the book staring me in the face. Maybe I should pull it off the shelf. But it's kind of this fun, you've seen one, haven't you? It's kind of this owl-looking creature.
And how is it going to be integrated into Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
Well, in one of the scenes where they interview a couple of teenage girls, this is actual archival footage from CBC Vancouver, supplied by Colin Preston at CBC Vancouver. When the Beatles came to Vancouver for the first time in 1964, the plan was for them to stay at the Georgia Hotel, and these girls saved quarters and nickels and put a whole bunch of money together and bought this giant 6-foot OOKPIC doll, and they were being interviewed about their plans to present it to the Beatles, so that's incorporated into the show.
And I always ask you about the OOKPIC, and I love the OOKPIC. The CBC Archives, did they recently help solve a murder, Return to Mississippi?
Hello.
Well, I don't know. I know they did a... this retro unit did a documentary, or supplied some of the footage for a documentary that I think did play on CBC News Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And I think in the mid-1960s, CBC did this, I think it was a documentarian named Beryl Fox did this documentary about a civil rights trial in Mississippi. and I think they went back last year. I don't know any of the details.
But I think they rebroadcast it, and it helped solve a murder. So what murders are going to be solved with Jimmy McDonald's Canada? The rebroadcast of this material could start a new craze. What do you predict coming out of Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
Legally? What are the legal implications?
Yeah, what are you going to reintroduce to Canada?
I think
we will
solve the murder of the Canadian spirit. I think it's always good to go back to the old school.
Caller, are you there?
I am here.
Go ahead, Joe, to Greg Diamond.
Greg Diamond, your book Mondo Canuck has to do with Canadian pop culture. I was wondering, do you touch on Guy Madden?
The book was done 10 years ago, so before he had this great recent run. But yes, there's an entry on Guy Madden.
Is there anything about Greg Klimke?
I don't believe so.
No?
I apologize.
The caller here, I think, lived in Los Angeles for a little while, trying to make it big. Now you, Greg, in your researching, are there many people from Canada that moved to Los Angeles? Any specific references to Los Angeliners, Vancouveriters, Winnipeggers in Jimmy McDonald's Canada? Do you have any footage that was filmed in Los Angeles, etc.? Is all the stuff from Canada? Is there any sort of Kennedy assassination stuff thrown in there?
No, it's all Canadian. Yeah, it's Jimmy McDonald's Canada, and it's all stuff shot right across the country in the mid-1960s.
And caller, do you remember...
No JFK conspiracy stuff.
No JFK conspiracy?
No.
Caller, do you remember Rick Mercer at all?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember the show It Seems Like Yesteryear? There was some show called It Seems Like Yesteryear, I think. Is that what it was called?
It Seems Like Yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
It was some sort of thing where they showed clips and stuff. Is your show going to be like that, Greg? I mean, not the introductions, but are the clips going to be longer? This is what I really want to know. Like, what was cut from your show? Because I think this caller knows when you're involved in a creative process, there's always people arguing back and forth.
There are compromises to be made?
Yes, exactly. Like, what do you want to do? One person has a vision, another person has a vision. You're doing Jimmy McDonald's Canada, Greg, and, like, I love the obscure, the neat stuff that I really enjoy, but, I mean, the guys that are brought in, they don't always understand that type of thing, do they? How do you win out on that, Greg? Like, what is going to be cut from Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
No, I think you have an agenda with this caller, and I'm caught in the middle.
I think there's definite agenda.
No, there is. No, not at all. I'm just wondering what you think might be cut from Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Was anything cut at all, Greg Diamond?
Well, what do you mean cut? Like, we put the clips together.
What is the basis of
your
show?
You mean stuff that you would want to see personally that we cut out?
Yes.
Was...
Is the haunted in there?
No,
okay,
there's no haunted.
Any other questions at all, caller?
I'd like to know what the basis... Your show is premiering on Sunday? Your show is premiering on Sunday?
Yes, so the first episode, there are 8 half-hour episodes running 8 consecutive Sundays.
What's
from
it about?
Mid-June to mid-August.
Is it basis of Canadian pop culture, like your book?
It's called Jimmy McDonald's Canada, and there's like this old comedian-type dude introducing vintage clips. It's like a pseudo-mockumentary.
Well, it's like we claim it's an actual, the great lost current affairs show in the CBC archives that no one has seen for 40 years. So he is shot in black and white. We kind of insert him into this old show. We create a new show using 75% archival clips. So the some of them, I mean, they all definitely touch on pop culture, but the notion was that this guy had this show, and each week he addressed some theme in Canadian society. So the first episode's rock and roll, second one's technology, then fashion, fitness, food, hockey, hippies, and sex. And the hippies and sex are the themes that kind of drive him over the edge. He's a very repressed Anglo-Canadian, and he starts very tightly wound, and then he just gets tighter and tighter, and then he bursts in the episode, final episode.
Are you going to correlate them to, like, modern sex times, or is it just all archival footage?
No, the whole idea is that we found this thing in a forest in northern Ontario, and we played the shows complete.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The only modern-day stuff is these testimonials from these famous Canadians, like the Prime Minister and the Governor General and Don Cherry and Lloyd Robertson.
So are you testifying
to the centrality of the show
in
our collective memory?
Where does the show come out of, the caller was wondering? Where is the show actually based out of?
I guess, like, sadly, like many CBC Current Affairs shows of the mid-60s, like This Hour Has 7 Days, it emanates from Toronto.
Are you in Vancouver right now, or are you...
I'm in Toronto.
You're in Toronto?
Yeah.
Do you ever run across Slowko Klimke?
Yes.
He's a director of programming there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my uncle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's the guy who commissioned this whole unit.
Yes.
The retro programming unit.
You should tell him I say hello.
Okay, for sure.
Awesome.
And have you patched it up with Nardwar?
Have I patched up with Nardwar?
Yeah.
I think so. I think me and Nardwar are on good terms.
Was there some creative collaboration before?
I directed his music video.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, actually, the really thing we were wondering about was last week Joe phoned in with a question a couple weeks ago to Dennis Hopper, and I guess I was asking you, Greg, what are the connections between Dennis Hopper and Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? Are there any Canadian connections going through all the vaults for the CBC?
Other than that film?
Other than the film, just wondering if anything you found in the vaults with Dennis Hopper.
No, I haven't. I'm sure he's appeared at the Toronto Film Festival many times, but I...
Well, thank you much for calling in, Joe, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Bird poo.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And caller, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead to Greg Diamond.
Greg.
From Mondo Canuck, a.k.a. Jimmy McDonald's Canada, debuting this Sunday night at 11 p.m. on the CBC.
Well, I have two questions for Greg. My first question is, was Jimmy McDonald's plane crash inspired by the death of Canadian watercolor painter Tony Only, or perhaps the near-fatal plane crash of Tom Cochrane?
That is a very insightful yet precocious question, belying a sensibility much greater than your years.
Wow, it
that
sounds
question
like
would
it
seem
sounds
to come from someone very young in the flesh, but quite old and wise in the mind. So the plane crash, I guess the notion of this conceit was I wanted to have a bit of the Bill Barilko and Tom Thompson, kind of this notion that there was this big Canadian TV star who disappeared, who had this supernova style career, went to the top very quickly. Jimmy McDonald was plucked from obscurity voicing toothpaste ads on a radio station in Regina, and then
what ads have we heard Jimmy McDonald on before? Richard Wah. What ads have we heard him on?
In real life, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, he did an ad for the Toshiba notebook that was quite a huge ad about 5 years ago. It was about this guy this businessman who was going on a flight, and he accidentally checked his notebook. So throughout the whole flight, he's saying, "I can't believe I checked my notebook." And then the thing comes down the baggage carousel, and he turns it on, and it's still working. So it testifies to the resiliency of the Toshiba notebook.
And he was also on The West Wing and a RoboCop TV show.
Wow.
That was Jimmy McDonald.
Where did you get your research?
That was Jimmy McDonald. So will people recognize Jimmy McDonald from The West Wing or the RoboCop TV show?
I don't think so. Well, maybe.
Richard Wah. And also, Richard Wah is the name of the Scotiabank president. Or is he the Scotiabank president?
Wow, how did you do that research? Well, he's not the Scotiabank president. But Richard Wah delivers a fantastic performance.
Any other questions at all for
Greg
Diamond
caller?
Yes, that answers my question. But I have a second one for you, Greg.
So it wasn't based on the watercolor artist, but that notion of having this brilliant, very short-lived Buddy Holly style...
Heroic death by their own incompetence.
Yes.
But caller,
that sounds a bit academic.
Caller, just...
school is not in session.
Caller, just to clarify for anybody else listening, who are we speaking to, and how would you classify this Jimmy McDonald's Canada, the catchphrase, like, you know, natural born killers meets on Golden Pond. What would you describe Jimmy McDonald's
this
Canada?
This is one caller who would understand these references.
Yeah, my name is Julia Popowski. I'm calling from Naramata, British Columbia, and I couldn't classify this show yet because, you know, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, but he wanted me to deliver a tagline, which I said.
No, I was wondering, do you understand what the show maybe will be about, though, caller?
Yeah, I have a sense of what it's going to be about.
Okay, and you have another question.
I do, I do. Greg, do you know anything about Nestor Pister, a Ukrainian-Canadian comic whose real name was Don Nast, who was active in the early to late 70s?
Wow, that question belies a sensibility much older than your years. I heard of Nestor Pister. Was he kind? But I don't know a lot about him. Was he kind of Canada's Lenny Bruce? Was he obscene like the McLean brothers?
Yeah, he was quite obscene. You know, he was famous for belching during his comedy routines.
Did he also have like a comedy musical career?
Cowboy. And so he played kind of a drunken Ukrainian figure.
Kind of like Canada's Yakov Smirnoff?
Yeah, he had a really heavy Ukrainian accent, released a couple albums. There was Nestor Pister for Prime Minister, but I wanted to know if you knew.
I'd heard of him, definitely, but I don't know the albums intimately.
So we don't know what happened to Don Ask, because that would perhaps be a good quest for Ukrainian-Canadian guerrilla journalist, Nardwar the something?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, caller, for phoning in and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That caller obviously was listening on the Internet. CITR is available on the World Wide Web. Actually, if anybody is listening on the World Wide Web right now, this is something fun you can do. Go to the CITR homepage, www.citr.ca. Okay, you've gone to the page. Now look up in the top right, and you can see how many people are listening online right now. It's hilarious because the maximum I think you can have is, maybe like 22. And usually when the Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show begins, we have like about 22 or 30 people listening because they've been listening to Tyler's great show, Radio Zero. But at the end, usually when I check back, the radio listenership is down to, maybe not radio because we can't really judge that, but the internet is down to zero. So that's just a fun little thing for you to check out. Also, if you notice on that page, you'll notice the CITR request line is 604-822-2487, UBC CITR, and we're speaking here to Greg Diamond from Mondo Canuck, but more importantly right now from Jimmy McDonald's Canada, which is debuting this Sunday night at 11 p.m. on the CBC. There's some amazing clips, and there are different episode titles. How long are these clips going to be? I've asked you this before, but from this particular episode coming up, it's going to be the rock and roll one there, Greg. How
yes.
long are the clips? Anybody?
I guess the longest clip is about a minute 10.
Which is quite long in TV land, especially for a half-hour show, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there anybody that we know in the clips? Have we seen any of these clips before? Is there like a young Kim Campbell in any of these?
No, not in this one, but there are definitely clips of the young Kim Campbell hosting a kids show called Junior Television Club that exists within the CBC Vancouver archives when she was about 11 or 12, quite precocious kid.
One thing,
The celebrity, who are we seeing? Well, in the first episode this Sunday night, Marshall McLuhan, the footage that hasn't been seen for 40 years, the Rolling Stones,
now this
the
footage-
Beatles, the Guess Who.
This footage that we're seeing, has it all been aired, or is there stuff that's never been aired? Were outtakes taken, or was only the edits kept? Like, do you have raw
footage?
It's only
material that actually did make it to air on CBC, but truthfully, I would be shocked if anyone remembered it, because it's stuff that has not aired since its original broadcast 40 years ago.
But did they ever keep stuff that they didn't air? Like just the raw footage? You know, because like they have the raw footage for the edit, and then they have the actual edit. Did you actually get access to the raw footage at all? Or
I'm sure it exists somewhere, but no. We had to go with stuff that had actually been cataloged.
Because I'm really excited. As this first episode, you have an interview with the Rolling Stones at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yes.
Now, what year was that, and who was doing the interview? Is it a Larry Zolf?
Larry Zolf. It's from 1964, I think, their first visit to Maple Leaf Gardens.
And when was that done exactly? Like, what time of the year was that done?
Oh, I don't remember.
Like, who was on the bill? Did they play there twice in Toronto? Was it 64 and 66 that the Rolling Stones were there?
I believe you're right. I'm sorry, I don't have the dates in front of me.
Greg, who was Larry Zolf, by the way?
He was, and still does have a relationship with CBC. He writes for CBC.ca. He was a very well-known journalist on CBC TV in the 60s and onward.
How did the CBC reporters compare to other interviewers after you've been going over all this footage?
Well, I think it depends on the reporter. I mean, obviously, CBC, a show like This Hour Has 7 Days, was quite cutting edge and innovative, and in the way they shot the set, and they lit it like it was like a play, like they shot it like theater, and they studied theater lighting quite seriously, and made the show look so much cooler than these other bland TV shows that were basically a desk and a backdrop. And I guess Jimmy McDonald's Canada fits into that that early 60s period at CBC where the sets aren't quite so dynamic.
How did the American networks regard the CBC at that time? Were the other networks?
Well, I mean, for a while there, I think CTV started in the early 60s, so CBC started in 1952. So for a good 10 years, this was the only Canadian network, CBC. And so if you wanted to watch Canadian television or television in Canada, you had to watch CBC. Cable, of course, hadn't proliferated yet. So, I mean, the other networks were CBS, ABC, and NBC in the States.
We just had... walk into the music department. Well, walk into the DJ booth.
What?
Luke Meat, CITR music director. Are you there, Luke?
I am, sir.
And not to pull out the House of Frankenstein thing. You didn't actually hear this. But Luke was the guy who phoned in last time talking about this. And I know everybody listening has just heard this. But, Greg, could you tell Luke again about what happened recently?
Luke.
Yes,
sir. You remind me. Are you a big fan?
I'm absolutely huge fan. That's my childhood.
Okay. Well, about 3 weeks ago in Toronto on Queen Street in a Legion Hall called Club 360.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember his name, but he has this very interesting website up.
Is it the one with all the sound bites and the sound clips and stuff like that?
I believe so.
I've been
to
that one before, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, this guy had a fan fest, a one-day-long fan fest for fans of Hilarious House of Frightenstein.
Oh, wow.
And he brought over people, you know, camera guys, sound people, and he was selling old copies of the show on DVD. I think around 10 years ago it played on the very early days of Showcase, so he videotaped it and made DVD dubs. I could get you a copy, I'm
sure.
That
would be fantastic.
He had one DVD he was selling with 2 episodes on it.
Oh, my God.
So I was reminiscing with Nardwar about the great kind of psychedelic video.
Oh, yeah.
He was also selling an interview he did on University of Toronto radio, and he did an interview with Billy Van about 5 years ago.
You can, I believe on that website, you can get actually all the playlists of the Wolfman show, of every single record that he actually played on House of Frightenstein. And there are some really obscure psych tracks on there, actually.
Oh.
Like, yeah. But there were, actually, he really kept it kind of Canadian. Like, he would play Terry Jackson, stuff
yep.
like that. And
I mean, I was about 8 or 9 when the show started,
yeah.
and it was just the coolest kid show,
yeah.
am I right?
It's pretty surreal, and a lot
yeah.
of it's really, the amazing thing is how much improv actually happens in it and stuff, and how
naturally
funny
about
it was.
That. Yeah, and Vincent Price came up for like 2 days.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And improved about 2 days.
Yeah, that all everything. It seemed like he was on the show for the entire duration, but he only did it only a couple of days, and they just
That's
used
right.
stock footage, and that was it. You know,
yeah.
like, I mean, so he was a permanent member of the cast, even though he only put 2 days into it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Well, Billy Van was such a good comic actor.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We had to bring you in, Luke, and
okay.
thank you, listeners, for
thank
bearing
you.
With us again.
Thanks,
but
Darla.
Greg really knows. Doesn't
thank
Greg know?
Greg knows everything about this wonderful country of ours, and I thank you for the book.
Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Jimmy McDonald's
yes,
Canada.
Sir. This Jimmy McDonald's Canada.
This Sunday night at
Jimmy McDonald's Canada.
11 p.m. Well, thank you very much, Luke.
Thanks, Nardwar.
Do-do-do-do. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Greg Diamond, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Can you hold on for a few more minutes?
Yes.
The reason I mention that is right now, we are going to cut to something that Jimmy McDonald's Canada is going to have in one of its upcoming issues. It is going to be The Haunted. You're going to have some stuff on The Haunted, aren't you?
If we do another series, we will. But let's hear some Haunted.
Well, I want to play some Haunted, and I think this kind of symbolizes why I don't like to Guess Who anymore.
Okay.
Remember, The Haunted kind of has their garage phase, right?
Yep.
And then they also have their wacky, crazy phase. So I guess I've moved from the garage phase of the Guess Who to the naked Burton Cummins on the piano phase. What movie is that from again?
Melanie.
So this right now symbolizes why I love The Haunted from Montreal, Canada, 1960s. Still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And we're speaking here to Greg Diamond, author of Mondo Canuck, but now part of Jimmy McDonald's Canada, a brand new cool archival series debuting this Sunday night on the CBC at 11 p.m. Jimmy McDonald's Canada will be filled with lots of neat tidbits, including haunted outtakes. Eh, Greg?
In a future incarnation. Hey, can I give a shout-out?
Go ahead.
I want to shout-out to my friend in Toronto, E-Dog.
And that was The Haunted with Vapor Moe from 1967. The Haunted from Montreal, Quebec. And I keep talking about them because you've actually seen footage of The Haunted, haven't you, Greg? In the CBC archives, haven't you? You've actually found it, haven't you?
Yes, and I made a commitment to you
to show it,
give you a copy.
Jimmy McDonald's Canada.
And I didn't deliver on that promise.
What other stuff is going to be in the rock and roll episode of Jimmy McDonald's Canada this Sunday night? You have some Vogue Theater action happening.
Yes, for all you Vancouverites, there is footage of the first screening. They set up a camera in the lobby of the Vogue Theater in Vancouver the day A Hard Day's Night premiered. And so a CBC interviewer is there talking to teenage girls as they're walking through the lobby.
Anything more about the Rolling Stones interview? I mean, that's so cool that you're going to be playing that. Is it in color or is it all black and white, eh?
This is all black and white, yes. CBC went to color in 66, just in time for Expo 67, and this is all stuff from 64, 65, and early 66.
So you couldn't play any 66 stuff and just turn it black and white?
We could. We decided not to do that. It always looks a bit weird it doesn't really look black and white. If you take something color and turn it black and white, it's not the same as original black and white.
Does anybody own the copyright of this old footage? For instance, Ed Sullivan footage, a lot of that was rescued from dumpsters. Like some dude got it from a dumpster, copyrighted, and then he gets paid every time it's played. Was there any stuff you couldn't play that somebody owns the copyright for?
No, I mean, this is part of the idea of this retro programming unit, to take stuff CBC owns and make new programming out of it. So it's all CBC current affairs stuff.
And with the Rolling Stones interview, is there anything going on in the background? Because I think I was asking about what time of year and when exactly that interview was. One of those dates, the Ugly Ducklings played.
Ah.
And I guess I was wondering if...
They did. But no, there's no footage of that. It's...
But, I mean, in the background of the interview with the Rolling Stones...
The interview is actually taking place on a plane. I don't know if it's when they're... I think it might be when they're flying out of Toronto.
Oh, so they're not actually backstage? Because there was a picture today in the Globe and Mail of the interview.
That's of a different interview. That's a guy named Dave Marsden who... That's Dave Marsden.
That's Dave Marsden.
Yeah.
Post 1040.
Yeah. And he's he was on Music Hop Toronto... when Alex Trebek was.
So that photo didn't correspond with the actual show then?
No.
And you are Greg Diamond, a part of Jimmy McDonald's Canada. One other episode on Jimmy McDonald's Canada is Hockey Night in Canada. National game or national shame? What is the shame part, Greg Diamond?
Well, we have these... every show title is kind of alarmist, because Jimmy McDonald was quite an alarmist character. He was very worried about the loosening of morals in the 1960s. So all these different areas of Canadian society he's addressing, they're all presented in a very alarmist way, like the sky is about to fall. So, for example, the rock and roll episode is called Rock and Roll, Living on Borrowed Time. And the hockey is, well, I mean, this debate about Canada not being as strong at hockey as we should be has been going on for many years, and we discovered that in the footage. So that's why we call that. These are all titles that come out of Jimmy's mind, and he's very panicked about just about everything. So that's the title of the hockey episode, National Game or National Shame.
Greg Diamond, 604-822-2487, UBC, CITR. If you have any questions for Greg Diamond, what is your favorite Keenan moment? Mike Keenan moment.
I thought you meant Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Actually, how about both?
Okay.
Keenan
Ivory Wayans, my favorite moment would be that movie he did with Steven Seagal. I can't remember what it's called. And Mike Keenan? I don't know. I've just heard. I don't know if I have one Mike Keenan moment.
What sort of stuff are you going to have in
Keenan? Mike Keenan was coaching the New York Rangers in 1994, and there was a hockey player from my hometown of Barrie named Mike Gardner, who apparently he didn't really like. So Mike Gardner had played his entire career. He's like the number four top scorer of all time, or number three even. He played his whole career in Washington. He'd never won a Stanley Cup, and the Rangers had a great team that year with Mark Messier. And anyway, about 2 weeks to go in the season, Mike Keenan trades Mike Gardner away to Toronto for Glenn Anderson. Glenn Anderson from the Edmonton Oilers goes on to win yet another cup with the New York Rangers, and Mike Gardner is denied the chance to win a cup. So there was a biography of Mike Keenan issued a few years ago. I don't know. I get the sense he can be a bit hard-assed.
Well, when reviewing all these
What's your favorite Mike Keenan moment?
Well, there was a moment that was described by Brian Burke, ex of the Vancouver Canucks, when Mike Keenan made Glenn Hanlon, you know, his assistant, wear the headphones when nobody was upstairs in the booth. this is one of his last games. He said, Glenn, you wear those headphones. But Glenn's like, there's nobody to talk to. He's like, that doesn't matter. Wear those headphones. And that was kind of my favorite Keenan moment, as described by Brian Burke. But going through all these tapes for Jimmy McDonald's Canada this Sunday night at 11 p.m., did you come across any kind of interesting Hockey Night in Canada stuff? Any hint of what will be in that particular episode?
Well, we have... what do we have in the hockey episode? We have...
How about from the fight angle? For instance, goon lines. What are some of your favorite goon lines, Greg Diamond? Have you ever thought of a goon line such as this? Because this is a goon line that Mike Keenan put out as well for the Vancouver Canucks once. Chris McAllister, Scott Walker, Dave Scatcherd, Enrico Ciccone, and Jamie Huscroft all out as one line on the Vancouver Canucks. How about that? That's a Keenan moment, eh?
That's pretty awesome.
Just stacking it. Have you ever had any of those line brawl sort of ideas for putting that into Jimmy McDonald's can? Is there any line brawls happening?
No. This is set in the mid-60s. Kind of, it was very violent then, but basically it's pre-Philadelphia Flyers in the 70s when you had, well, you didn't really have the hired goons at that point.
Or the Mario Marois. Do you remember Mario Marois?
Indeed, I do.
Do you remember when he scored a goal and then put it on the board in front of the bench of the team that he scored the goal on just to taunt them?
I don't remember that.
Like he scored the goal and then, of course, it caused a line brawl. What about Nick Kyprios? Nick Kyprios!
He's doing very well for himself.
Remember he was hit by Ryan Vandenbosch?
Yes, I also remember he kind of plowed over Grant Fuhr in the goal once and twisted his knee, and Grant Fuhr was out for about 6 months.
But Ryan...
I forgot about your love of hockey violence.
But Ryan Vandenbosch used to put Vaseline on his cheek, you know, he was very shiny, to protect himself from punches, etc. Does any of that sort of stuff come through on Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
No, it's more of a... what is it? There's an interview. Jimmy McDonald does an interview with Foster Hewitt, the former play-by-play commentator on Hockey Night in Canada. There's vintage footage of Punch Imlach, the old Toronto coach, giving a pep talk to his troops, and material like that. A very early sample of women playing hockey.
How about Dave?
I know it's not as sexy as line brawls, but if you tune in, I think you'll be well rewarded.
But how about yourself? Any other sort of interesting stuff that if you could expand Jim McDonald's Canada to the 60s, 70s, 80s, like Kerry Fraser gluing his hair, Dave Hodges rant, Joe Scrow?
Joe Scrow, the Maple Leaf trainer?
The Maple Leaf trainer.
Yeah.
Not related to Judy Scrow, I don't think.
Maybe. I would hope not.
It's interesting because I asked you about Joe Scrow last time, and then Judy Scrow kind of came to prominence after asking about Joe Scrow. And we're speaking here to Greg Diamond from Mondo Canuck, 604-822-2247, UBC CITR. Greg Diamond, of course, also does Jimmy McDonald's Canada, debuting this Sunday night on the CBC at 11 p.m. You're also going to have episodes on technology in Canada, fashion in Canada, fitness in Canada. Anything there you'd like to elaborate about?
Well, obviously, I hope people will just tune in. Fitness, there's a thing called the Royal Canadian Air Force had a whole fitness plan that they distributed to Canadians in template brochure form. And so we have footage of the 5BX and the 10BX exercise plans devised by the Royal Canadian Air Force in industrial training films.
More on the Mondo Canuck tip, where is Raymond Perkins, who worked on Ralph Ben Murgi with you?
I believe Raymond Perkins is still working for the Roots Corporation. He's kind of, I believe if you Googled him, not that that's the only kind of research you do, but if you Googled him, you would find many hits, including Raymond Perkins and Roots.
I also like Booble, actually. That helps me a lot. And... And you are Greg Diamond. Greg, Tommy Douglas. Anything neat on Tommy Douglas? You know, with healthcare and the news and everything. Anything on Tommy Douglas?
No, he's not in the series.
But
it's
not
really a political series.
Anything
it's
like,
more cultural.
Anything you'd like to add about punk politics or anything like that? Of course, you know, Warren Kinsella being a punk rocker. Tim Murphy, chief of staff for Paul Martin, apparently was a punker as well. What sort of punk politic connections have you found?
Well, I don't know how you discovered this fact, but Tim Murphy, the chief of staff, who is, I guess, being challenged for his role in a phone call with two, you know, very hardworking Vancouver members of parliament, Dosange and Graywall. I went to high school with him. I was in a punk band with him called The Necessary Evils, Barrie, Ontario's first, last, and only punk rock band.
Do any tapes exist?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
That's amazing. What were the song titles? What did Tim sing?
Tim didn't sing. He was the lead guitarist. His pseudonym was Nick Nihilist, and I was the lead singer. My pseudonym was Mike Mistake. And we had a deaf-mute bongo drummer named Son of Sam. So that'll tell you when we did it. It was 1978.
The Necessary Evils.
What were the songs? Those songs were My Pet Rat Has Cancer, You're My Test Tube Baby, Vanity Fair, Get a Haircut. We did a tribute to our hometown of Barrie, Ontario, called Donut City.
Greg Dion, winding up here, what new Canadian things have you found out? I keep asking you again all about the Margaret Trudeau and the Lighthouse and the House of Frankenstein, but what new Canadian things have you found out? I was recently re-alerted to the fact that AIDS is blamed on Canada.
Oh, yes, Patient Zero. I apparently might have been a Canadian. Is this what you're referring
to?
Yeah,
French-Canadian flight attendant.
Mm.
And a Canadian inventing Botox. What other Canadian thingies have you found out there for your Mondo Canuck research, possibly for Volume 2?
I don't think there's going to be a Volume 2. Boy, you mean new Canadian connections? Gosh, I wish I'd known you'd been asking this question.
Well, I guess that's what I was wondering. Is there anything about Tommy Douglas, perhaps, you haven't got out there?
No, I don't know. New information about Tommy Douglas?
Yeah. I always like to use you kind of like, well, you know, like you have your meat with the regular media, and then you have like the salt sprinkled on. That's what Mondo Canuck is. You add the little extra salt, you know, the little insight, and it's exactly what is going on.
Yeah.
That's why we really love our salts, even though no MSG is good for you. But I guess I was just wondering any sort of clarification on that.
I'm sorry. I don't have any new Canadiana. I'm sorry. I've just been focused on the show.
Well, the show is all Canadiana. And anything else you want to say about Jimmy McDonald's Canada?
No, just what I said off the top, which is I'm happy that you stuck with me during this creative, barren, bleak period. I had nothing to offer. You had me on once a year to talk about Mondo Canuck, and now that I have something new to promote, I'm very grateful, and I'm happy to talk to you about it.
Well, I'm really excited to see all the great footage that you found again by going through all the archives through Canada, right? Like,
yep.
Tons and tons of stuff. Is there enough for another season?
I don't know. As you know from Mondo Canuck, I don't like to repeat myself, and I don't really hustle to get anything new out there. So we'll just see how this one lands. We'll see how people respond to it.
And right now we're going to end an Ardwar to Human Serviette radio show with some new tracks by Thor. Canada's metal god returns with a brand new release on Smog VO Records. And interestingly, in the Canadian content connection there, Greg Diamond, he covers Hard to Cry, originally done by the Northwest Company, a 60s punk band out of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
When did this come out?
I am not sure if the Northwest Company are on Let's Go or not, but this is a cover. This is brand new, 2005, Hard to Cry by Thor, and I think we'll also play a couple other tracks, such as Thor Against the World and Creature, and Glimmer. This is from Thor's brand new CD out on Smog VO Records. Thor is back doing 60s Garage, and this is this kicking 60s Garage done by Canada's metal god. How would you describe Thor for people that don't know Thor, Greg Diamond?
I would describe Thor as a bodybuilding metal god, really. And, of course, I don't have an extensive knowledge, but Keep the Dogs Away basically shaped my philosophy of life for a couple of years during my adolescence.
That was 1977. Keep the Dogs Away. Well, thank you very much for phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show today, Craig Diamond. That's Jimmy McDonald's Canada. When is it again?
This Sunday at 11.
This Sunday at 11 on the CBC. On the CBC, lots of vintage clips coming up. Thor, and anything else you'd like to add to the people out there? Why should people care about Jimmy McDonald's Canada, Greg Diamond?
I don't know if they should even care about it, but I just think it's entertaining. And, yeah, I just think this is a nice glimpse into the way Canadians lived in the mid-60s. It's kind of like looking at an old high school yearbook, and sometimes you look back and you're just completely embarrassed, and other times it brings back fond memories, and I think that's kind of what the emotional experience would be like. And plus, it's late Sunday night. It's 11 p.m. It's just a nice way to relax before heading back to work Monday.
And you got Evan Solomon as your lead-in. What more could you want? Ba-boom.
Well, you didn't have to end it that way.
Okay, I didn't mean to. Well, I think, isn't lead-ins important? Like, aren't they important to have a good lead-in?
Yeah, I think they got a very strong rating.
But Sunday,
I'm not kidding.
Sunday at 11 p.m., I think that's a good time. Like, people are just resting in front of their TVs.
Yeah, I think it's good. It definitely, when I was doing it last summer, I definitely thought it was a late-night show. So I'm happy.
Well, thanks so much, Greg. Keep on rocking in the free world, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
Every time.